Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 7th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is a balmy 23 degrees and sunny here in upstate New York. Very crispy outside. So where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Disease Vectors, Climate Change, and Stressed Out Squirrels. And if you remember, those poor little squirrels up in Canada, in around Guelph University, were being trapped and had their microbiome swabbed. Poor little squirrels. But they had discovered, I mean, I think anyone who's ever lived under stress for a long period of time would know this, that stress kills, and they think that one of the reasons why stress kills and makes you unhealthy is because it affects your microbiome. It helps kill and throw your good bacteria out of whack, and that then directly affects through the vagus nerve your mood, your brain, your hormone levels then based upon your mood, and it could throw everything all in a spin with the poor little squirrel. But it's pretty interesting. Microbiome is something that we looked at extensively in regards to how our body works and ways that we could be manipulated. And there's a lot of research going into that now to crack it and to modify it using nutraceuticals and to get the desired effect. So pay attention to that. You know, the next thing that we're going to find out is, hey, we were right all along. Food is medicine. And they've discovered that now. And I think they're going to figure out ways to take advantage of it, especially since there has been a pushback against genetically modified foods. With the genetically modified foods, I don't think they were really looking at modifying us for any particular agenda. Like, they didn't have something in mind, like they wanted to make you be angry or whatever. But maybe they did. I think, though, they were just more focused on trying to see what this crap was going to do in our bodies, and then it just so happened that, oh, look, it caused this cascade of Western diseases that, of course, keeps people low-grade sick and progressively degenerative. So as time goes on, their healthcare costs go up, and look, we all make profits. But I think now this is going to become more targeted to be able to make the body do what they want it to. So whether they want us to all be angry or depressed, or they want, I mean, I don't even know. I can't even imagine some of the things that they're working on now. But I mean, they can insert things genetically into anything now and then have us ingest it. And we found out the small intestine and the intranasal passages are probably the two best ways to get any of this newfangled science into our bodies and across that blood barrier. Something interesting I just wanted to mention, speaking about all of this, I don't know if anyone heard the David Icke interview yesterday that Alex Jones did with him. Oh my God, you don't even know like how many insane projects I've been working on for the last year at least. But there were about five of them, and over the last few weeks, we've been pulling the trigger on all of them and finishing the extensive beta testing, and now we've been rolling them out for real. But I got to sit and babysit then for 5 or 6 hours while the whole process is going on, make sure everything fires, make sure all the orchestrations happen. So I was doing that until 3 or 4 o'clock this morning, and while I was doing that, my friend said, hey, David Icke's on Alex Jones, so I threw it on. And I'm going to tell you guys, I've never listened to David Icke or read his books or anything, and I was like, this dude's got to listen to my show. And my friend's like, this dude wrote the book on all this, man, way back when. I'm like, no way. I mean, if somebody's got it going on, I don't know about the lizard thing, but maybe I call him the lizard's den. If somebody's got it going on and totally sees the full agenda, I gotta say, at least I got it last night. I was like, man, if you listen to this show and you've been an avid fan for the last year or two, you would totally get everything Ike was talking about. But if you didn't know anything about all this stuff and you were listening to Ike last night, you might go, it's time for the medication there, buddy. So, I don't know. I was actually, it quite surprised me that he was right on the ball, because there aren't too many people out there actually see the whole picture. And what really got me and kind of gave me chills is that Ike's been saying exactly what I've been saying. Like, this is it, people. Doesn't matter what else is going on. This whole technocratic getting down to every cell by the machine to take us over at a biological level. And he even said the keywords were like synthetic. It's exactly what we're doing. Biological life is being usurped, and it is happening, and it is happening fast. And this is it right here, right now. If we do not wake up to this, the lives and the futures of our children and our future generations are going to be very, very, very different from what we experienced growing up. And he even said what we said yesterday, that we're from the before time. The before time, when we knew what it was before television, before computers, before video games, we weren't, even talked about the addiction to all the devices. It's exactly what's going on. And we have been sucked in. So, and he even talked about the VR goggles, the wearable computing, and the implantables, transhumanism, and Kurzweil. I mean, I could, and I never, ever, 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 ever listened to this guy. I had no idea, none. So it's amazing. I'm very, very excited that there's somebody of at least his notoriety that totally gets it. Maybe somebody who means something, who can do something to stop this machine, might hear something. And I missed that last part. They went to commercial and I always hit mute. And I never heard the end for his solution. So I might have to dig that one up and see. Maybe he came up with something good. All right. Anyway, I had to share that with you, because I don't too often come across anyone anywhere, let alone in alternative media, that fully gets the whole picture or is talking about any of this stuff to begin with. I mean, it doesn't happen often. I did hear, though, the last couple of nights on Antimedia as well, they're starting to touch on some of this stuff, and that makes me happy. Also, some of the environmental and the Fukushima and the methane Claire was doing, and then Jakey Anderson is getting into a little bit of DARPA stuff and technology, technocracy. So that's really, really good. Makes me happy. These need to be mainstream issues. And I know for many, many, many years, people have called me a lunatic, but I'm not a lunatic. I just saw this coming long ago and finally. But the sad fact of the matter is there's a brick wall up ahead, guys. I mean, this isn't like we got eons to go. This is like the 11th hour. So anyway, spread it around. Spread it around. It's all true. All right, where are we going to go today? So there's enough rambling. There was 10 minutes of rambling. I'm still half asleep, so I'm trying to unramble. All right. Give me a pat on the back, by the way. We've been working on all these automation applications, and they're all like little plug-in pieces. So it'll start from the beginning of a massive process. And I really can't get into what the process is right now, but this is going to be some really good things. This is going to help us set the alternative media on fire this year. But they're all little modules that plug in and take care of different processes. And we can use them for external applications that are out there and sucking in data and splicing and dicing it and then having it reconstruct itself with no intervention from me. And then post it and rip it and zip it and zing it. It's really awesome. And we ran the entire orchestration, start to finish, in real time during production. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, these have been really busy news days. And it all worked. So I want to give a round of applause to all the people who've been involved. It's been a lot of work, and I'm very happy getting these monkeys off my back. They've been pulling my hair for the last year. Getting these monkeys off my back has been something on my plate. And 2015 was the goal, and it's gone. I mean, not gone, but to at least move to the next stage. The monkeys off my back, and we get them on a leash. All right, so where do we continue? So we talked a lot about disease vectors. Disease vectors in the past that they've experimented with and used in the quote-unquote biowarfare program. They had used a lot of mosquitoes, ticks, fleas. Those were probably the three biggest. Over the last 3 or 4 days, we've looked at some of these tropical outbreaks that are happening. And, oh, look, these infected mosquitoes are flying around biting people all over, giving pregnant women this new disease that apparently is causing birth defects in children. And now they're warning that because of climate change, it's coming to America. It's right at our border. Just made it to Puerto Rico. And it won't be too long before these formerly only tropical diseases end up in the United States. But don't worry about it, because the Google Medevac drone will be delivering some new vaccines that they're working on. And with a smiling face of Bill Gates on the bottom of the drone, I'm sure. I don't know. Bill Gates is just everywhere. They even talked about Bill Gates. Like, anything Bill Gates touches is part of the globalist agenda. And he was absolutely right on that, too. anyway, so we've had this outbreak. And, yes, these disease vectors using insects as a biological weapons delivery system is quite ingenious, because they're cheap, they're small, and they can fly anywhere, and they live just a real short time. And they've shown that they can splice and dice these mosquitoes using the CRISPR technology and do just about anything they want. These, they are saying, have this kill switch gene after they reproduce. The larva and the young mosquitoes never make it past maturity and end up withering up and dying. So there's no worry. There's a kill switch. Yes, don't worry about it. But now they're concerned, because all of these people, right around the same time that they had let all these genetically modified mosquitoes go up in Brazil, right around the same time they saw this huge uptick in the Zika virus that now is just spreading all over the place, and they're not really sure what to do. And I am calling bullshit on all that and saying it does have something to do with what they did to those mosquitoes. So genetically engineered bioweapons, a new breed of weapons for modern warfare. This came out of the Dartmouth Undergraduate Journal of Science, the winter of 2013, and this really caught my attention. Genome sequencing has given rise to a new generation of genetically engineered bioweapons carrying the potential to change the nature of modern warfare and defense. Biological weapons are designed to spread disease among people, plants, and animals through the introduction of toxins and microorganisms such as viruses and bacteria. The method through which a biological weapon is deployed depends on the agent itself, its preparation, its durability, and the route of infection. Attackers may disperse these agents through aerosols or food and water supplies. Although bioweapons have been used in war for many centuries, a recent surge in genetic understanding, as well as a rapid growth in computational power, has allowed genetic engineering to play a larger role in the development of new bioweapons. In the bioweapon industry, genetic engineering can be used to manipulate genes to create new pathogenic characteristics aimed at enhancing the efficiency of the weapon through increased survivability, infectivity, virulence, and drug resistance. While the positive societal implications for improved biotechnology are apparent, the black biology, quote unquote, of bioweapon development may be one of the greatest threats we face as humans. The limits of bioweapons of the past. Prior to recent advances in genetic engineering, bioweapons were exclusively natural pathogens. Agents must fulfill numerous prerequisites to be considered effective military bioweapons, and most naturally occurring pathogens are ill-suited for this purpose. First, bioweapons must be produced in large quantities. A pathogen can't be obtained from the natural environment if enough of it cannot be collected to allow purification and testing of its properties. Otherwise, the pathogens could be produced in a microbiology network or bank, a process which is limited by pathogen accessibility and the safety with which the pathogens can be handled in the facilities. To replicate viruses in some bacteria, living cells are required, and the growth of quantities of an agent can be limited by equipment, space, health risks associated with handling the germs, etc. In addition to large-scale production, effective bioweapons must act quickly, be environmentally robust, and their effects must be treatable for those who are implementing the bioweapon. Yes, don't forget the cure for yourself. You should know that. You learned that in evil villain school. Recent advances, as researchers continue to transition from the area of DNA sequencing into the area of DNA synthesis, it may soon become feasible to synthesize any virus whose DNA sequence is known. And this was first demonstrated in 2001. Oh, yeah, that magical year when Dr. Eckhard Wimmer recreated the polio virus. And then again in 2005 when Jeffrey Tullenberger and Terrence Trumpy recreated the 1918 influenza virus. Yeah, that's the one that they all fought to publish. The progress of DNA synthesis technology will also allow for the creation of novel new pathogens. That's what scares me even more than the Isle of Dr. Moreau. According to the biological warfare expert, Dr. Stephen Block, genetically engineered pathogens could be made safer to handle, easier to distribute, capable of ethnic, we talked about that yesterday, ethnic specificity, ethnic, to be able to target people based upon their ethnicity. How's that? Or to be made to cause higher mortality rates. The growing accessibility of DNA synthesis capabilities like the Johnny, do some genetic engineering in your bedroom kit that's out there now. The growing accessibility of DNA synthesis capabilities, computational power, and the information means that a growing number of people will have the capacity to produce bioweapons. Scientists have been able to take and transform the four letters of DNA, C-A-T-G, into ones and zeros of binary code. This transformation, this is basically how CRISPR, why CRISPR is so powerful, because it's taken something that seems very complex, very tiny, something that we really struggled because we didn't have the technology to do it. And now once you get the genome, you suck it into the computer, and it just makes it like a drag-and-drop computer program. I mean, they can mix and match DNA on a computer and then print life. We read about that wackadoo new startup. I remember what the name of them was. In California, some rich billionaire started a company, and he is going to allow people to create their own life for a price. all right, back to this bioweapon story. So they've been able now to take, and this is why this is so powerful, and this is why this is like the death drive for all of life. It's called the gene drive, CRISPR-Cas9. They've been able to take CATG, the four proteins, amino acids in our DNA, sequence them, and then turn it into zeros and ones on the computer to be able to then mix and match with other DNA sequences that they've sequenced to then create, print new designs. All right. I just heard a door close outside, and then I heard the dog barking next door. I'm just hoping they're not coming in the back door to get me. I get nervous when I hear that. Transformation makes genetic engineering a matter of electronic manipulation, which decreases the cost of a technique. And according to the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, the emergence, so even Hillary Clinton's afraid, the emergence of gene synthesis industry is making genetic material more widely available in a yeah, they're selling like mail order DNA and to your specifications, no less. A crude but effective terrorist weapon can be made using a small sample of any number of widely available pathogens, inexpensive equipment, and college-level chemistry and biology. Techniques to enhance the efficiencies of bioweapons. Scientists and genetic engineers are considering several techniques to increase the efficiency of pathogens and biowarfare. Goody, we should be so excited about this. I mean, this stuff, guys, this is where, you know, they're putting this big happy face on it. Look at how wonderful 21st century medicine is. We can cure everything. Yeah, and we can kill everything, too. It is putting the power of gods in the hands of just a few. A few who really don't give two shits about you or me or your little fuzzy kitten or your squirrel out back. They just want to see lots of dead things. Scientists and genetic engineers are considering several techniques to increase the efficiency of pathogens in biowarfare. Number one, binary biological weapons. What? I haven't heard of these. Binary biological weapons. This technique involves inserting plasmids, small bacterial DNA fragments, into the DNA of other bacteria in order to increase virulence or pathogenic properties within the host bacteria. Now, I mean, that's like a little Trojan horse putting a package in there. And it's a lot of what they've been doing in vaccines I've seen, where they're using other bacteria to then express stuff that they're using. It's also the way I think that they're getting around now the GMO labeling, because they're saying it's not really GMO. They're just producing, they're modifying a bacteria to then produce a substance that isn't genetically modified. I don't know. Slippery slope, people. Number two, designer genes. According to the European Bioinformatics Institute, as of December 2012, scientists had sequenced the genome of 3,139 viruses, 1,016 plasmids, 2,167 bacteria, some of which are published on the internet and therefore accessible to the public. With the complete genomes available and the aforementioned advances in gene synthesis, scientists will soon be able to design pathogens by creating synthetic genes, synthetic viruses, and entirely new organisms, like new life forms that never existed ever. Number three, gene therapies. Gene therapy involves repairing or replacing genes of an organism. And, you know, maybe we can get to that story today. They've done it for the very first time in a live mammal. Gene therapy involves repairing or replacing a gene that an organism permanently changing its genetic composition by replacing existing genes with harmful genes. This technique can be used to manufacture bioweapons. Oh, what a nice, and that sounds like a little storybook for children. Number four, stealth viruses. Stealth viruses are viral infections that enter cells and remain dormant Now, this is pretty scary. They remain dormant for an extended amount of time until triggered externally to cause the disease. And in the context of warfare, these viruses could be spread to a large population, and then activation could be delayed or even be used as a threat for blackmail. Oh my God. Oh, I stepped in a pile of unbelievableness with this one yesterday. And this is out of Dartmouth University. Number five, host swapping diseases. Much like the naturally occurring West Nile and Ebola viruses, how interesting that we were just talking about those yesterday, and those have been two of the outbreaks that we've seen. West Nile, we talked about yesterday, just showed up mysteriously in 1999 up here in New York State, no less. And we had crows dropping dead. And it was, remember, we heard the story kind of like the Ebola, they tracked down the one fruit tree. And where the whole outbreak in Africa happened, one lonely fruit tree with a fruit bat in it. Well, in New York, they happened to track down that one mosquito that started West Nile. And West Nile was very similar, 99% similar to some sort of pathogen they developed in Israel, remember? And it just so happened to show up in Queens somewhere and start the whole infection process. I don't know, it's just ridiculous. It started one mosquito that came from something from Israel in, I think they said Queens. It's either Brooklyn or Queens or New Jersey, right near JFK Airport. That's what they said. And maybe they had hitched a ride. It's just ridiculous. They're working on all this stuff. I'm sure it got out at Plum Island. You know, I mean, that's Plum Island. It's also where they were working on Lyme disease. Lyme disease in not only ticks, but in mosquitoes all over. I'm certain the ones that were up during that time period in the early, mid-80s, I'd have to say, yes, because it was before college. Actually, it was probably in junior high school. Up in the Thousand Islands, I think the mosquitoes were infected with Lyme disease. There were zillions of them. And then probably 3+ years ago in some of my research on experimentation on humans by the government, I had discovered that, yes, there was a mass release of genetically modified mosquitoes from Plum Island over the Thousand Islands. And it just happened to be right around the time we were there, which would explain the swarms of mosquitoes while we were there, why my mom came down with Lyme disease shortly thereafter. And she was literally crippled up for years after that. I mean, that was a really tough, my whole growing up when I was like a teenager. My mom was very sick. Okay, so host swapping diseases, much of the naturally occurring West Nile and Ebola viruses, animal viruses could potentially be genetically modified and developed to infect humans as a potent bio-warfare tactic. So they could get us with, like, human foot and mouth disease? Is that what they're saying? That's another frightening thought. And then, of course, we have number six, designer diseases. Biotechnology may be used to manipulate cellular mechanisms to cause disease. And, for example, an agent could be designed to induce cells to multiply uncontrollably. When you mean like some sort of fast-acting cancer? Ah, yes, as in cancer. Or an agent could be designed to initiate apoptosis, which is the programmed cell death, and just make all your cells start dying. And then number seven, and this is the one that everyone's going to be clamoring for, bling, personalized bioweapons. Yes, personalized bioweapons go hand in hand with Obama's precision healthcare. The more and more they learn about us and about you in particular and every gene in your body and what makes you tick, the more and more vulnerable you are to someone developing a kill switch specifically just for you. In the coming years, it may be conceivable to design a pathogen that targets this person's specific genome. This agent may then spread throughout populations, showing minimal or no symptoms, yet it would be fatal to the intended target. And that's where we were talking about the ethnicity, being able to target populations based upon their genes. You know, maybe you got the Polish gene. I don't know. I'm sure that there's something in there that shows my family was Polish. And probably most Poles have some certain gene that they'd be able to target and wipe a cell out. I don't know. It's pretty damn scary, guys. And this is, you know, the Stephen King in the Stand. Anyone ever read that? I read that back in the early 80s when that first came out. And that book has haunted me to this day. It was my favorite piece of work. I read the unabridged mega edition. If you, the little paperback's good, but read the mega edition. If you've never read that book and you want something that even to this day, 30 years later, is still as real as it ever was, and even more danger now than we ever had before, and even beyond, this isn't just like CDC, DOD dumbbells, you know, with baggies with smallpox in them on the top of a filing cabinet for 40 years. We're talking like custom evil, being able to be spun, mixed, and matched the DARPA lady. I want to be able in the future to push a button and create a life form with traits from any living creature. This is pure, utter evil. All right. So that was all under some of the things that we can bioengineer. So now, of course, let's look at the bright side. And this is how they sell it. This is how our biowarfare program, we've talked about this, has never gone away, even though it's been outlawed. I never remember the name of that agreement that Nixon inked in the early 70s, whether it was Nuremberg or there were a couple of them. But it outlawed biological and chemical weapons. And when he inked that, he said that we're done, you know, Fort Detrick, Maryland, and Plum Island, and all these other buildings we had on Plum Island, which, by the way, I just saw, you know, they were redeveloping that on Plum Island. And I guess there's a, I was wondering how at one point they were talking about putting condos on there. It's like, what, I wouldn't have a condo on Plum Island after all the poisons that they, and the horror that they did on that island over the years, especially since like the early days of the war. You wouldn't get me anywhere near that island. Well, I saw the other day, and I'll have to dig that up. I think I posted it, but I don't think it's in my queue here. They were talking about redeveloping that land, and there was a university that actually was taking over and going to be leasing a portion of that. And I don't remember who it was, but some pretty scary stuff. And I didn't see anything about the condos going there. But they were saying that there's an ecological disaster brewing on Plum Island. Gee, you think? Like after all those years with chemical, biological weapons on that island, I think they should burn it all. Incineration would be proper. But the way that they have managed to keep our biowarfare program running, even though it is quote unquote officially discontinued, is with Nixon's statement that we now are going to go on the defensive for biowarfare and focus our attention on creating vaccines. And that's how vaccines get tied into the biowarfare program, because the vaccines are the solution, quote unquote, according to them. But in order to create a vaccine, you need a pathogen. So that gives us access then to pathogens under the name of creating a vaccination. All right, biodefense. In addition to creating bioweapons, The emerging tools of genetic knowledge and biological technology may be used as a means of defense against these weapons. Ah, so that's how we funded it all. Number one, human genome literacy. As scientific research continues, and this is what's fueling us to learn more. As scientific research continues to reveal the function of specific genes and how genetic components affect human disease, vaccines and drugs can be designed to combat particular pathogens based on analysis of the particular molecular effect on the human cell. Okay, well, good. Number two, immune system enhancement. And this is kind of what some of these newfangled vaccines are looking at doing. This is this universal flu vaccine I've talked about many times. They've been working on it since at least 2006. Probably even before that, but I knew about it in 2006. Universal flu vaccine is using your body's own immune system. It's creating, I don't really know how they were planning on doing it, because there's a lot of different ways that you can manipulate the immune system. But basically, instead of like the old days where they would put an adjuvant into the vaccine that would then overstimulate your immune system to produce antibodies, this literally is creating like a synthetic component that goes in and stimulates your immune system into overdrive to attack and kill whatever it'll give it as an identifying string of information to be looking for in a pathogen. So, you know, when your body, it's just like an antivirus. Your immune system in your body works a lot like an antivirus. So just like in the old days, where we were talking about the old antiviruses, you actually had to have the virus signature for your computer to recognize the virus, right? If you didn't have the most updated signature in your antivirus software, bang, you got hit by a virus again. But with this newfangled day zero antivirus software, what it does is it searches for anomalous behavior. So if all of a sudden you have an application or a file on your computer that's trying to access like your root memory of your operating system or your root core, the processor, the day zero software goes, hold on, Clyde, papers, please, because I don't know that there's too many digital creatures on this computer that have that type of access to get to the king's room. And so I want your papers. And if you can't produce papers, then it zaps you and kills you. And it's the same thing with some of this new immune system enhancement and how they want to create a universal flu vaccine to protect you against anything, and it doesn't matter what the pathogen is. It says, in addition to enabling more effective drug development, human genome literacy allows for a better understanding of the immune system, and this is not going to work out to our benefit, I don't think, honestly. Just means that we just gave them more keys to the castle. Thus, genetic engineering can be used to enhance human immune responses to pathogens. For example, Dr. Ken Elbick is conducting cellular research in pursuit of protecting against the bioweapons anthrax. Now, that's another thing, immune system enhancement. You know where they're doing a lot of this is in these newfangled vaccines that have become part of Project BioShield. Project BioShield, of course, is using all kinds of vaccinations that were never tested or approved on humans because of the ethics involved with things such as anthrax or smallpox. But they're all in the national stockpile just in case there's an emergency. We'll have something to try on you. Number three, biodefense against viral and bacterial. Viral and bacterial genome literacy. Decoding the genomes of viruses and bacteria will lead to molecular explanations behind virulence and drug resistance. And remember, we have all this antibiotic resistance that's rolling out. Now, I just saw, by the way, we were talking the other day about that new pathogen that was in Chinese meat, right? And this is the very first time that we've seen a pathogen that is 100% immune to any type of antibiotics whatsoever. It was coming out of Chinese chicken and pork. And then they found a case in Denmark, and they were freaking out because it was the first case, and now it spread to Europe. We just saw a story last night. Guess where it's showing up now? Ha ha, it's in Canada. I think it came in on beef. Scrolling quick here to see if I see this story. If not, we'll do that one tomorrow for Friday. I think it came in on the beef, and it's in Canada. And guess what? All of our country of origin labeling laws are gone. So is Canada, the question I asked, is Canada importing Chinese beef and then going to try to sell it down here as Canadian? You know, they already did that with tea from Japan. And I saw Japan is pushing double, triply hard on all these other countries now, saying, Fukushima, it's almost 5 years. People, get over it. We're not still in the middle of a triple meltdown or catastrophic fallout. No, don't worry about it. We need to kickstart our economy back into gear. So we're going to use the World Trade Organization to start forcing countries to buy our radioactive shit after they put an embargo after the meltdowns. So keep an eye on that, because Japan and radioactive food, Fukushima food, is coming back to the market. And like I said, pay attention to who's shipping your food, because Canada has been caught already trying to ship stuff in here that came from Japan and they were labeling it as Canadian. All right, anyway, back to this, the viral and bacterial genome library. It says decoding the genome of viruses and bacteria will lead to molecular explanations behind virulence and drug resistance. And with this information, bacteria can then be engineered to produce bioregulators against pathogens. For example, Zoma Corporation has patented a bacterial side permeability increasing protein made from genes inserted into bacterial DNA, which then reverses the resistance characteristics of particular bacteria against some popular antibiotics. Wow, that sounds like a good one. So let's go in and take all these dangerous bacteria that are now antibiotic resistant, genetically modify those killers, and then hope that our genetic modification is going to make them more vulnerable to our old antibiotics. I don't know. We are just playing with fire here, like beyond fire. This is like a nuclear weapon at a genetic level. This could blow up and obliterate life in an instant. And with the advent of gene drive, that can wipe out an entire population of an organism in one generation. I mean, you know, my mother looks at the stuff and she's like, oh, Jewel, I can't worry about it. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't worry about it? Well, there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm just going to be happy. That's what she says. I'm like, but don't you realize that she's like, well, they've always had the ability to like destroy life. Well, not like now. I mean, we are talking science fiction movies. Every movie you ever saw, every pathogen movie, every science fiction movie, it's all coming true. All right. Well, this is going to go on. It's going to take the whole show for this one story. All right. Number four, efficient bioagent detection and identification equipment. Well, we've talked about this too. They are now working on biosensors, right? That's the big thing. It's going to be integrated in your phone, in your wearable clothes, in your Fitbit bracelet, soon in your insertables. So you can have your little Star Trek doctor under your skin at all times. It's going to be on Nana's toilet seat, I'm sure, taking biometric information and sending it back to your doctor. It's going to be on the Google drones for fast diagnoses and recovery. And I also just saw that they created a medication bioreactor, they called it, where they could synthesize any medication with a few little touches of a button. Well, look at that one. I don't know if we're going to get to that today. Time is going pretty quick, but maybe tomorrow. That is queued up already here in the line of stories. Anyway, so efficient bioagent detection and identification equipment since 2001 with the Twin Towers they were worried about terrorism, and that's when I first started to see these biosensors being exploited and spread out across the area. They were putting them in New York City to be able to be like a first line of defense for any type of pathogen in the air. Anyway, to read this, it says, because the capability of comparing genomes using DNA assays has already been acquired, such technology may be developed to identify pathogens using information from bacterial and viral genomes. Such a detector could be used to identify the composition of bioweapons based on their genomes, reducing present-day delay in resultant treatment and preventative measures. And yeah, they're doing the same thing for diagnostic medicine. So it's going to be like, you know, spit on your finger and bing, a minute and a half later, they have your diagnoses. Number five, this is in our biodefense, ding, ding, vaccines. We knew that was coming. Current scientific research projects involving the genetic manipulation of viruses to create vaccines that provide immunity against multiple diseases with one single treatment. And yeah, like they give it one sentence and there should be an entire book written under vaccines with a colon, mad science gone mad. And then, of course, number six, and here we go, and this is why we had to have antibiotic resistance, because they're working on, ding, ding, new antibiotics and antiviral drugs. Currently, antibiotic drugs target DNA synthesis, protein synthesis, and cell wall synthesis processes in bacterial cells. And with an increased understanding of microbial genomes, other proteins essential to bacterial viability can be targeted to create a new class of antibiotics, eventually broad spectrum rather than protein-specific antimicrobial drugs may be developed. And this very last section is titled The Future of Warfare. The revolution in molecular biology and biotechnology can be considered as a potential revolution of military affairs. Yes, it is, states Colonel Michael Ainscough, MD, MPH, which whatever those titles mean. And according to Andrew Krepovich, who originally coined the term RMA, which is the Revolution of Military Affairs. And they're calling it RMA, Technological Advancement. Incorporation of this new technology into military systems, military operational advancement, and organizational adaptation in a way that fundamentally alters the characteristics of conduct of conflict are the four components that make up RMA. I mean, basically what they're saying is genetic engineering, even though it isn't biowarfare per the old definition, is actually biowarfare per the new definition, because we can slice and dice anything we want and make it do anything we want and then release it into the environment to do whatever we want. This is horrifying. Back to the story. For instance, the Gulf War has been classified as the beginning of the space information warfare, RMA. And yes, the Gulf War is where a lot of my friends ended up getting that very first Mad Science Gone Mad anthrax vaccine that has affected them to this day. It says, from technological advances in biotechnology, biowarfare with genetically engineered pathogens may constitute a future. In addition, the exponential increase in computational power combined with the accessibility of genetic information and biological tools to the general public, and this is what I've been saying all along, the lack of governmental regulation, and not that I'm about governmental regulations, but for stuff that could wipe out the entire planet, I would have to say that there needs to be some tight locks and keys on this shit. Raises concerns about the threat of biowarfare arising from outside of the military. The U.S. government has cited the efforts of terrorist networks such as Al-Qaeda to recruit scientists capable of creating bioweapons as a national security concern, and has urged countries to be more open about their efforts to clamp down on the threat of bioweapons. Did you know that every country is responsible for monitoring that themselves? What the hell do they know about biological weapon development in some little third world nation where we got terrorists in every little nook and cranny or some sort of radicalized group who thinks that this is cool? I mean, literally, this isn't rocket science anymore. With all these tools that are out there, you can get them through universities or whatever. So be a double agent and find yourself some sort of biotechnology student. It wouldn't be too hard, I don't think. Despite these efforts, biological research that can potentially lead to bioweapon development is far more international, far more spread out, and far more diverse than nuclear science researchers say. Scientists can communicate much more rapidly with one another by means that no government can control, and this was not true in the nuclear era, according to David Kay, former chief U.S. weapons inspector in Iraq. Kay is, quote, extraordinarily pessimistic that we, the United States, will take any of the necessary steps to avoid the threat of bioweapons absent their first use. And I'm telling you, this is probably one of my worst fears, and I am just seeing all of the arrows pointing. They've been priming the pump. They've been getting us scared with a sprinkle here and a sprinkle there. Little Johnny's measles. Oh, my God, Ebola. Now we got Zika and dengue. Sprinkle, sprinkle. Get used to the idea that it's global warming. And we have terrorists under every bed. I get scared of them, too. You know, it's pretty frightening. And this is not the type of world that I want to live in, especially a type of world where it's now completely unknown. It's not even like, you know, we could say, oh, look, there's an outbreak of Marburg or whatever virus you're going to say. And we know how to protect ourselves against it, or we know how to treat it. We are talking about stuff now never before seen, mix and match, slice and dice, that could do whatever they want. All right, last story. This is the one I ran across this morning. So not only do we have Google Medevac drones that could potentially be delivering vaccines, and that was one of the things that they did on their first test, right? I told you yesterday with the rancher in Australia, delivering cattle vaccines. Well, this is out of sciencealert.com. This tiny bioreactor can produce life-saving drugs anywhere. So we're going to have Medevac drones flying around with their new biosensor gear that allow them to take a spit sample and diagnose what ails you. But then we could also have these little tiny bioreactors that could produce, boo, in a second, life-saving drugs as well. In remote parts of the world, getting vital medication to the people who need it can be a real challenge. So researchers in the U.S. have developed a tiny, portable bioreactor that can generate a variety of drugs from any location. When a mixture of acids and cell extracts are fed into the reactor, it can produce proteins needed to treat everything from diabetes to anemia and various kinds of infections, and more efficiently than any commercial device in use today. We show that the micro-scale bioreactor design produces higher yields than conventional test tube-based batch formats, and that the product yields can be dramatically improved by facilitating small molecule exchange with the dual-channel bioreactor, says the team from where? Oh, Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Yes, ding, ding. I think I saw this. I have a whole lineup of all the newest news out of Oak Ridge. Oh, no, out of Brookhaven, sorry. So many lizards' dens. At the heart of this miniature bioreactor are two tightly wound 4.9-meter-long channels that have been etched into a microscopic porous silicon membrane, and the reaction takes place in one channel, and then the protein passes through a special membrane into the other channel ready for collection. the exchange of metabolites, energies, and species that would otherwise inhibit protein production can then be controlled through this membrane and the serpentine channels enclosing it. Says one key difference with the new process is that the organic materials do not have to be kept alive in order to produce the necessary proteins. And that makes long distance transportation and long term storage easier. Soldiers camped out far from civilization, for example, could make use of the technology to treat various health issues. And yes, of course, military agency DARPA has provided some of the funding for this research. Ultimately, this same device might be able to produce drugs that are in short supply or prohibitively expensive. And another potential use for the bioreactor is in disaster zones where established medical channels and infrastructure have broken down. And yes, and we sent in, it doesn't say this, but this is exactly, I'm seeing a flash of the future where we can send our Google Medevac drones. So, you know I say it all the time, but definitely put on a seatbelt because it is coming. Pay attention to the Canadian beef and to cows coming out of UC Davis. Maybe we'll hit on beef stories tomorrow as well. First genetically edited cows arrive December 20th, 2015 at UC Davis in California. But they got them from China. All right, guys. Well, if you can even believe it again, that was another hour down. I don't know how it goes so fast. Pay attention. I am going to try to catch up with Nick Burnaby from Antimedia, but they might be going 2 hours soon. So yeah, it might be great. We'll have 11 to 1, 11, 12, 1, 1 a.m. Eastern for live radio 5 nights a week. Might be kind of interesting. All right, guys, make sure you stick around because guess what? It is Thursday already. We have Mr. Kevin Blanche up next. And then Ron live with Game On at 7 p.m. Eastern behind the woodshed this week's with Hal at 8. Double Cross Radio with Chuck at 10 and Anti-Media Radio with SM Gibson at 11. All right, guys, everyone have an awesome Thursday.